Orla Reardon joins me in studio now. Good morning, Orla. It's great to have you in. We're talking about your new documentary, The Bones of St. Bridget. It's a new radio documentary to be broadcast here on KFM on Monday, February 2nd. And joining me now, you're just here to talk, I suppose, about the inspiration, the reason behind the documentary, and as well, having your work now out for everyone to hear.
Yeah, hi Hannah. Thanks very much for having me. So I'm absolutely delighted that it's going to be going out on Monday, which is, of course, the bank holiday Monday, St. Bridget's bank holiday. But it's been about a year in the making, I suppose, and it's been a labour of love, and I've really enjoyed working on it, and also enjoyed learning so much more about the person I thought I knew, and meeting wonderful people who are so passionate about her and just love telling her story and her message. I suppose the whole thing is that she is having her day. She's back in Vogue, and delighted to be part of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And looking to kind of the start of this documentary, what first sparked your interest in St. Bridget and you thinking, I want to make an hour-long documentary about her?
Well, I went to Scolvrida School in Cork, in Crosshaven, and we were always taught about St. Bridget. But it only re-emerged, I suppose, in my own consciousness a couple of years ago when the whole COVID pandemic had hit and the conversation regarding an extra bank holiday came up again. And then St. Bridget came back into the mix, that they were going to have, you know, her celebration as well as a thank you to the people of Ireland who had, you know, worked all through COVID. And I was going, oh yeah, let's have a look again into St. Bridget. And more people were talking about her, I suppose. And the whole point of her message of peace and, you know, kindness, I suppose, after we had all gone through such a horrific time and it was so difficult for so many people. What I found during COVID was that kindness came to the forefront again in people's lives, and they realised, you know, it's not about, everybody was working from home, you know, people were isolated from each other, and suddenly they realised that what is the real meaning of looking out for each other. And her message just seemed to just shine through the whole thing. So yeah. For me, that's where it started. And she was extremely cool. Yeah. She was an amazing woman. Mm-hmm. You know, she was in a time where really cattle were valued more than women were. And her achievements were unbelievable. And the more I looked into her, the more I thought, God, I'd love to have met this woman. I'd say she was formidable. Mm. And it just kind of spiraled from there. And the more I researched, the more I learnt, and the more I reached out to people, the more that they were just willing to tell me all about this woman. So I learned a huge amount. I could have done another hour documentary. You know, yeah. I was saying it was so difficult to try and edit this into just the 1 hour. Mm-hmm. So that's where it all came from, really.
And the documentary, it follows the story, of course, of St. Bridget's Bones, mm-hmm. from Kildare to Downpatrick and across Europe to the small parish of Lumiere in Portugal. Were you surprised of just how far the story of St. Bridget travelled, her legacy, not just contained here in Ireland, but abroad in Europe as well?
Absolutely. And there's two waves of her message being brought across the continent. The first wave kind of went out with the monks and the priests that were travelling all over the continent. They brought St. Bridget's message with them. Now, St. Patrick, his message was also travelling across Europe, but his message was more of power, whereas hers was more of compassion. Mm. And I couldn't believe it. I interviewed a wonderful man called Jean-Michel Picard, who studied medieval literature, and he told me about the cult of St. Bridget that was just brought across all of Europe. And you'll find Bridget churches, Bridget schools all over the place, in Scotland, England, France, Italy. And I travelled to Lumiere myself in October to this little church called Igreja de São João de Baptista, which is the Church of St. John the Baptist. And Lumiere is a tiny little parish just outside of Lisbon. And I couldn't believe what I found there. Like, the people who live in this parish absolutely adore St. Bridget. Now, her skull resides there, and they have kept the skull there for the last 600 years. And I met with Padre Francisco, who's a lovely man. And of course, Bishop Dennis Nulty, mm-hmm. had already gone. Yeah, and so he knew Dennis already. But when I arrived there, like, I arrived on a Sunday at 9 o'clock in the morning. Mass was at 11. So he said to me, oh, you know, you can sit here and wait and sit in the church. And I sat he took the relic out. So it's in a bulletproof sort of little cubbyhole in the wall in the church, you know.
Wow.
So he took it out for me and let me sit there with it. And I was completely overcome by emotion. I didn't think I would be, because I'd been researching this woman and suddenly you're kind of sitting in her presence, you know.
Yeah.
And I was going, this is just an incredible feeling. I felt so proud to be Irish, so proud to be a woman that was researching this woman and to be in her presence. You know, whether you believe it or not, that's up to you. But these people certainly do. Mm. And, you know, there's also a very cool thing with there's three Irish Knights Templar buried there as well, you know, and they brought her skull. Now, you'll have to listen to the documentary to hear.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, I'm not going to give it all away to tell you why it got there. But for me, I sat and I went to Mass with them. And afterwards, in the beautiful October weather in Lisbon, everybody was sat outside having a barbecue. And I was chatting away to some of the lovely little old ladies that were sitting outside. And they were all called Bridget. Brigida, Bridget, Breege, and I couldn't believe this. Like, I was going, now somebody's just, you know, messing here.
Yeah.
No, they really were, you know. So they take it very, very seriously.
And you mentioned there some of interviewing some people. What kind of other interviews did you conduct to get really the full story of Bridget and the where her bones are now?
Yeah, so we sort of started off, because whether you want to have Saint Bridget or the goddess Bridget or just the woman Bridget, really, we started with the folklore part of it, you know, and interviewed Michael Fortune, who's a wonderful folklorist. And one of his things for tomorrow night, if anybody is listening, to do is to bring your scarves and hang them outside tomorrow night on your washing line or put them on the hedge so that they'll be blessed by St. Bridget for St. Bridget's Day. And then it'll look after your throat because we are coming into sort of the colder you know, months of the year. So he's talking about the Bridgeog dolls and the St. Bridget's crosses, which are all very different designs. And I always thought they were just the one that you'd see on the old RTE screens, but it's not. So we started with him and then we kind of travelled through, of course, Sister Rita from Solis Vrede, and talking about the Bridgetine sisters. We went to Isabel Jackson, who's the dean in the cathedral in Kildare. She talked about her influence with the flame and the whole building itself and how people come to it. Of course, the very charismatic Bishop Dennis Nulty tells us the story about him trying to put the skull of St. Bridget into his Ryanair bag, but it didn't quite turn out that way. And then we had Leo Varadkar. So I interviewed Leo Varadkar, and a lot of people say, why are you interviewing Leo Varadkar? But he was the Minister for Trade and Enterprise at the time when the government decided that they were going to give us another bank holiday. Mm. And I didn't know this, but the Minister for Trade and Employment is the only one that can actually sign into being a new bank holiday. So he was talking about that, and then he was Taoiseach when it came in, and how he went to Skull Reed as well in Blanchardstown. So, you know, all these things tied in. And of course we went to Lumiere and we went to Jean-Michel and then Mary Coughlin, the singer-songwriter as well. She, her song, More Like Bridget, she wrote it. And actually one of my favourite things, this time last year I was up here in Kildare and I went to see Mary Coughlin in concert, and I sat with the crowd and I interviewed a sort of a vox pop of a lot of the women who were in the audience about what they thought about St. Bridget. And what ordinary women of Kildare and environs were talking about was incredible. The things they were saying about how, you know, women have to try and do everything, and her message was like she was going to go and, you know, it's okay just to be enough and to do what you can. And so the arc of the story, really, I suppose, it starts with the folklore, and then it goes into her actual bones being taken away. But that's the story, sort of, I suppose, that you can listen for yourself. And then whether or not they brought her back, that's another sort of, you'll have to listen in to see what happened at the end of that. But, you know, I could have done a series with all the amount of content, of wonderful content of people talking about St. Bridget. We only got scratched the surface really on this one.
And Orla, you are an independent producer yourself, and researching someone like St. Bridget, who, as you just said, she's so cool now, as she always has been. What was it like, you know, independent producer, a woman in this industry as well, doing research on such an iconic figure for women in Ireland and clearly abroad, as you were saying, in Lumiere in Portugal? What was that like?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I suppose I find it that it's getting easier for independent producers, but you're still up against a lot of, you know, I'm doing this on my kitchen table at home, you know, I'm doing the researching, the producing, the presenting. I have a wonderful editor, I have to mention Steve Downing, he's absolutely brilliant. But, you know, there's loads of people out there that are doing really, really good work, and they're doing it at home by themselves, and they're just trying to get the word out there. And, you know, Cuma Shuna Mann are doing fabulous work with the Sound and Vision Scheme, offering people like me to be able to, you know, present my work to Kildare FM or News Talk or whoever, you know, will broadcast it. And I think more of it, please, you know, let's reach out to people who are very capable, but maybe not in the big institutions, you know. And as a woman, you know, I have always worked, and you know what it's like to work in radio as well. Mm. You know, I see you here, you're doing all the work on the desk yourself, you know, and I think that's fantastic. You don't need anybody else to do it for you. And I say, girls, you know, go for it and do whatever you want to do, and don't let anybody hold you back, really.
And that's really the message that St. Bridget was really giving as well. So to be able to kind of replicate her message, and then, of course, your own story of producing this documentary, it must be an amazing feeling to be able to do that, Orla. Now, looking ahead to the documentary airing on KFM, it will be aired at 6 o'clock on Monday, the 2nd of February. How are you feeling for it finally being out there, all this work for the past year or so?
Do you know, it's a little bit terrifying when you put your work, when you put yourself out there, because, you know, everybody has an opinion about things, and but I am very proud of it. I stand over it, and I feel as long as I can go, yeah, I'm proud of that work, then that's what matters. And I hope people will enjoy it and listen to it and maybe learn something they didn't know before. And then, you know, do their own research into St. Bridget and keep her message going, because really, you know, with the world the way it is today, kindness, you know, you can't have enough of it, really. Just be kind to people and compassionate to people. And I think that's, and you know, don't take things lying down either. You know, she was, I'd say, a fairly formidable woman, but, you know, we can do it in a way that doesn't hurt other people. And that's what her main message. And I'd say, you know, go for it. The thing that, I suppose for me, it's like, well, what's next now? What do I have to do next?
Yeah, and as you were saying there, you really could only scratch the surface with this documentary. Has it inspired you to maybe revisit the story of St. Bridget, or of course move on to another topic for a future documentary?
Yeah, well, I have one in the back of my brain about the Sheila Na Gaig, who I'm also fascinated with. And actually, there's the Sheila Na Gaig in the Kildare Cathedral. I don't know if people know that, but I'm not going to tell you where it is. You're going to have to listen to the documentary to find out that. But Sheila Na Gaig, again, is another, I suppose, very female-centric, evocative, you know, goddess or whatever she was. Nobody really knows. So that's something that's in the back of my mind. But yeah, I mean, I would love to travel. You know, my big thing, I would love to go. There's a relic. Apparently, St. Bridget's cloak is in Bruges. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, could I kind of, you know, incorporate travel as well as maybe going to visit the relics, you know. So but you know, with this thing, the joy about being an independent producer, I suppose, is that anything that takes your fancy, you can do something on. And if Cuma Shuna Mann and then people like Kildare FM, which I have to thank, because to be fair, they took a punt on me. They didn't know who I was from Adam. But like from the feedback here, they're very happy with the documentary. So people like that reaching out going, yeah, we'll give you a chance, you know, the sky's the limit, really.